Now, Mrs. Goldman was sharing with me earlier when we refer to the page numbers in the Holy War that was reproduced by our congregation. We actually have two different editions out there. There was an earlier edition, and some have that edition. And then there is this later one that has been done more recently, and some have that edition. And I was not aware, until she brought it to my attention, that the page numbers are different in that new edition. I knew about the changes and editorial corrections that were made, but did not realize it had put off our page numbering. And so you may not find the pages that I announced to be in agreement, but I always start out by reading the paragraph first line and giving time. I try to allow a bit of time for you, whatever edition of the Holy War you have, provided, however, it is not some modern edited edition. Any edition that is the original edition, you will be able to find our location by finding the first sentence of the paragraph that I begin to read every week. We are in that first section of the Holy War, that section which records the fall of the town of Mansoul. And by the way, I wanted to mention, I thought of this week, for the sake, well, of us here, anyone here, but more than that, for the sake of, because I hope everyone here has at least once read the entire Holy War by John Bunyan. But if not, those that may get these recordings by way of internet, go ahead and read the whole book. We are going through the book by way of intense study. But in order to grasp the whole story in your mind and then be able to come back and get more out of the study, read the book. Sit down and read the book. Read it in its entirety. Just read the whole book. Don't wait for us in the study. Go ahead and read it. Read it to its end. Read it again if you want to. You can never read it too many times. But read the story and then follow with us in the study, which is much more detailed, of course. We are now taking up today that paragraph which begins with the words, "Now these being dead." Now these being dead. That paragraph, which is on what page of some edition of the church's edition? What page is it? If your cover is blue, it's on what page, Scoot? Do you have it? Now these being dead, what do the rest of the town folks? What do the rest of the town folks? Yep, okay. All right, in your edition, in the one that's blue, it's on page what?
Five.
Okay. And in the other one, what page is it?
Same page.
Okay, page five. Well, we coincide there. All right, anyway. So, we have just read the paragraph last week and finished the paragraph where Bunyan describes how that Dibos has succeeded now, and few lines before our paragraph, he said, "Thus these two brave men died. Lord Innocence and Captain Resistance are now dead. And so the town is vulnerable now to Diabolus's completion of his plan to take this city as the place of his own residence and of his own reign." And so then Bunyan picks up and says, "Now these being dead," that is Resistance and Innocence, and they were dead, by the way. Innocence and Resistance were dead. "Now these being dead, what do the rest of the town folk? But as men that have found a fool's paradise, they presently, as afore was hinted, fall to prove the truth of the giant's words. And first, they did as Ilpaz had taught them. They looked. They considered. They were taken with the forbidden fruit. They took thereof and did eat. Innocence is dead. Resistance is dead. And now Bunyan says, now what do they do? What do? But do exactly what Diabolus had wanted them to do. They looked, they took, and they ate. They took thereof and did eat, and having eaten, they became immediately drunken therewith. So they opened the gate. Now remember, Bunyan taught us in the very beginning that these gates were impenetrable. They could never have been bashed in. They could have never been taken by force from anything outside. They must be opened from within. Man's heart prior to the fall could never have fallen prey to the enemies of God, to Satan, only if the city opened the gates. And so they did. They became drunken when they ate. So they opened the gate, both ear gate and eye gate, and let in Diabolus with all his bands, quite forgetting their good Shaddai, his law, and the judgment that he had annexed with solemn threatening to the breach thereof. It's hard to read. It is hard to read these words without sorrow. Here was the beautiful, beautiful town, the beautiful town of Mansoul. Such a beauty it was, such an ornament to the universe. And the great Shaddai had created it specifically for the place where his son, the prince, would reign. And now, it has fallen into the hands of God's great enemy. And the gates have been flung open. Ear gate and eye gate. The next paragraph says, Diabolus, having now obtained entrance in at the gates of the town, marches up to the middle thereof to make his conquest as sure as he could, and finding by this time the affections of the people warmly inclining to him, he, as thinking it best, striking while the iron is hot, made this further deceivable speech unto them, saying, alas, my poor man's soul, I have done thee indeed this service, as to promote thee to honor and to greaten thy liberty. But alas, alas, poor man's soul, thou wantest now one to defend thee. You get that? Thou wantest now one to... That's funny. They didn't need one to defend them before. They had Shaddai. But now that they've opened the gates and the enemy is on the inside, now they'll be wanting one to defend them. He says, for assure thyself that when Shaddai shall hear what is done, he will come. For sorry will he be that thou hast broken his bonds and cast his cords away from thee. What wilt thou do? Wilt thou, after enlargement, suffer thy privileges to be invaded and taken away? Or What wilt resolve with thyself? There is a footnote in our text, the ancient text we have, written by the editor, not by Bunyan, who said that whatever advantage is gained by Satan, he is sure to make use of for ulterior ends. Whatever advantage is gained by Satan. He bases this on the fact that Bunyan shows Diabolus moving from outside the gate, where he gained an audience, now to inside the gate, and now to convincing man's soul that they need him for a protector. And so he progresses on. And isn't that the way with Satan? Isn't that the way with Satan and with sin? Every little advantage he gets, he will make use of that advantage to go further. He reckons, says our commentator, that he has accomplished nothing until he has attained the castle, the citadel of man's soul. He wants to move in, and we haven't read it yet, we'll read it in a moment, or whenever. He wants, now having gotten inside the gate, he wants to move into the castle in man's soul. And of course, the castle is speaking of the heart, the human heart. He that is master there, says our commentator, he that is master there commands the town and all of its outworks. The heart. He wants to move in to the castle. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20. My son, attend unto my words and incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Here's the ear. Here's the eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. For they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. He warns us to keep his word in our hearts. Because Satan wanted and has now the control of the human heart. Matthew chapter 15 and verse 18. But those things which proceed out of the mouth cometh forth from the heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man. But to eat with unwashing hands defileth not a man, spiritually speaking. The heart, the citadel, the castle, Bunyan calls it, inside the city of man's soul, the heart. Jeremiah chapter 17, a familiar text, I assume. Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Then he answers in the next verse, I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. The heart, the castle. Diabolus, now having gained entry into the city, wants to take possession of the castle And that castle, of course, is his heart. In his commentary, and I do recommend, you can find these online. I think John was able to get me this one. But the riches of, it's entitled The Riches of Bunyan, selected from his works. There is this great statement made by him. He says, in a word, and these are, by the way, these are a collection. These are just a collection of writings of Bunyan that are not in, not published, not in Pilgrim's Progress, not in Holy War, not in any other place published. This is just a collection and accumulation of miscellaneous writings of Bunyan. Writing on the subject of Adam's transgression, he said, in a word, this is Bunyan, in a word, Adam led mankind out of paradise. That is into woe. He put out their eyes, left them in the to the leading of the devil. Oh, sad, says Bunyan, canst thou hear this and not have thy ears to tingle and burn in thy head? Canst thou read this and not feel it and not feel thy conscience begin to throb? If so, surely it is because thou art either possessed with the devil or beside thyself. Oh, this was the treasure that Adam left to his posterity. It was a broken covenant, insomuch that death reigned over all his children and does still to this day as they came forth from him, both naturally and spiritually dead. This is the legacy that Adam left to his children, a broken covenant. The human heart turned over to Satan. White, speaking of the heart, says this, our heart is our manner of existence, or the state in which we feel ourselves to be. It is an inward life, a vital sensibility, which contains our manner of feeling what and how we are. It is the state of our desires and tendencies, of inwardly seeing, tasting, relishing, and feeling that which passes within us. Our heart is that to us inwardly with regard to ourselves, which our senses of seeing, hearing, feeling, and such like are with regard to the things that are external to us. Your heart is the best and greatest gift of God to you. It is the highest, greatest, strongest, and noblest power of your nature. It forms your whole life, be it what it will. All evil and all good come from your heart. Your heart alone has the key of life or death for you. The human heart is the final cause, or as scholars would like to say, of absolutely all things, of absolutely all other earthly things. Earth, air, water, light, and heat, all the successively existing worlds, mineral, vegetable, animal, spiritual, grass, herbs, corn, fruit trees, cattle, and sheep, all other living creatures, all are upheld for the use and for the support of man. And then, all that is in man himself is in him for the end and the use of his heart. All his bodily senses, all his bodily members, every fearfully and wonderfully made part of his body and of his mind, all administer to his heart. She is the sovereign, and she sits supreme. And she is worthy and is fully entitled so to sit. For there is nothing on the earth greater or better than the human heart, unless it is the Creator himself who planned and executed the heart for himself and not for another with him. So the human heart is now, in the words of our blessed immortal Bunyan, the human heart is now thrown open, exposed, and without a defense to the king of sin himself, Diabolus. And so then he makes this fine and wonderful speech to the town of Mansoul, now that he has entered in, and said, Oh my goodness, basically, what are you going to do now? You know that Shaddai is going to hear about this, and you know that when he hears, he's going to come. And what are you going to do? Oh, wouldn't it be a shame, he says, for you to wind up having to give up this wonderful liberty that I've given you. What are you going to do now? Alas, he says, love these words of Bunyan, alas, my poor man's soul. The commentator said, Satan here speaks to man's soul from within. But how different is his speech now? In his former harangue, delivered outside the walls, he had undervalued Shaddai's power. Remember? He discredited Shaddai's power when he was outside the wall. Now, he magnifies it by his words. Outside, he had urged the townsmen to despise Jehovah's counsel. Now, from within, he urges them to defend themselves against his wrath. And then the commentator says this, there is a vast difference between the argument and attitude of Diabolus outside and inside the soul. Outside the walls, he is plausible, fair-spoken, and even beseeching. Inside, he is peremptory, authoritative, and commanding. Outside, he lies to man and belies the king. Inside, he, to some extent, speaks the truth. He truthfully enough reports the power and wrath of Shaddai, and thereby endeavors to put man's soul in a state of defense, and even of defiance, against its lawful king, while he enslaves his inhabitants and robs them of their glory. Now, I will make a comment here. It's not in any of my commentaries. For my brethren who would throw disparaging thoughts and even words on those of us that hold this doctrine of God's sovereign grace and the doctrines of grace as we hold to them. As to this doctrine of man's total depravity, Bunyan has gloriously, as using the pen, as it were, as a brush painting verbal pictures, he has gloriously drawn a portrait for us of the fall of the town of Mansoul. I ask you, what possible obligation could Shaddai have toward Mansoul at this place? what possible obligation, I said, could he have to man's soul at this point? Only one that I can name biblically. Judgment. He promised death. And death is all that is owed. Therefore, if after this fall, any sinner, any inhabitant of man's soul receives anything besides that death, it is a mercy. It is a mercy which must find its origin in Shaddai. For there is no deserving in man's soul of the least of his mercies. They have rebelled. They have, in the words of our commentators, they have yielded themselves to, they have defiance against their lawful king and enslaved the inhabitants and robbed him of their glory. And I say to you, our God at this point in the human history owes nothing to the human race but judgment. Nothing but. How could any man dare to preach a gospel that pretends that God is somehow indebted and owes to every man a so-called chance to be saved? What is owed to man's soul is a judgment of Shaddai, and nothing more. This is true in men's lives today. Then they all, the next paragraph says, with one consent, said to this bramble, do thou reign over us. So he accepted the motion and became the king of the town of Mansoul. This being done, the next thing was to give him possession of the castle, and so of the whole strength of the town. Wherefore, into the castle he goes. It was that which Shaddai built in man's soul. It was that which Shaddai built in man's soul. For his own delight and pleasure. And I underlined in my text those words, for his own delight and pleasure. It was that, the human heart, it was that which Shaddai built in man's soul. This is what made him different from everything else God had created. He stamped on man's soul his own image, and that is the immortal soul, the heart. And he did that for no other thing than for his own delight and pleasure. This now, says Bunyan, this now was to become a den and a hole for the great Diabolus. My goodness, just reading those words is painful enough. Psalm 51 and verse 5 is still true. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Ever since this day, I read it again, Bunyan said, this now is become a den and a hole for the great Diabolus. The psalmist said it this way, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. from the instant that I had a heart, that heart was a den of diabolos. And again, how can our brethren not see the doctrine of total depravity? From the instant I was conceived and had a spiritual heart, that heart was a den of diabolos. Boy, I tell you, dear old Bunyan in these glorious pictures will sort out a man's theology if he'll just listen. Listen to the Tinker of Bedford and he'll sort out your theology. It was that heart which Shaddai built in man's soul for his own delight and pleasure. And now this has become a den and hole for the great diabolos. He took the castle. He took the castle. Diabolos took the castle. And the town, the townsman, gave it to him. The townsman voted him in. You get that? Don't miss that. The townsman voted him in. My, what a thing. All right. We finished there for today. Questions, comments, other thoughts that you'd like to add to this? Any? Okay.